tonight. Come on. Mercy walked in. My accusers have nothing to say. Oh, they got a lot to say, but it ain't going to do any good. Amen. Are you blessed and highly favored tonight? I'm glad we can have revival in December. Amen. I want you just to lift up those hands to the Lord and say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I praise you. I bless you. Worship the Lord tonight. Magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He inhabits the praises of his people. We bless the name of the living Son of God. We glorify your name tonight. Thank you for mercy tonight. Thank you for grace tonight. Amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Kind of reminds me of the lady that had her picture made by a professional painter. And the painter had, did her portrait. And the lady, when she looked at the portrait, she didn't like it. She said, "Mister, I want you to know something. That portrait doesn't do me any justice." The artist said, "Ma'am, you didn't need justice. You needed mercy." Aren't you glad that we have mercy? Stand with me tonight and thank God for mercy. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, God is in the house tonight. Luke chapter 2. Thank the Lord for his presence today. I'm still feasting on the message this morning, and praise God for what he's doing through our pastor and through his plans. And thank the Lord for 2018 that'll be here in about 3 weeks. But I heard a sound when I walked out of my house the other day. Oh, I was out of church this morning. I had to go back to my car, and I heard some kind of ruckus or something. I said, "Okay, I'm rapture ready, Lord." Amen. Praise God. I thought I'd just leap from the parking lot right on through the air. But he might come before 2018. Amen. That'd be all right. Amen. He might come tonight. Amen. That's something a lot of my generation and younger have gotten away from, is the soon return of the Lord. And it directly fulfills that scripture that they say, "The Lord delayeth his coming." I mean, we literally live in the "Lord delayeth his coming" generation. Well, guess what? He's going to come like a thief in the night. Amen. He is coming. He came the first time for sure. That way we know he's coming the second time. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of a baby changes everything. Has anybody ever had a baby before? Come on, raise your hand. Men and women. I'm not talking about literally having it, but you've had a baby in the house. Amen. Did it change anything? Amen. That's right. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. If you're there, say amen. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch." Notice when this. "Over their flock by what?" You know, sometimes we pastors pastor during the good times and during the light times and the sun shining. But there's a faithful shepherd that will abide by the flock by night. Amen. When the tough times come. And it's even in the night sometimes when the greatest things happen. Amen. "Because lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Verse 10. "The angel said unto them," let's read it together, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Keep reading with me. Verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 15. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Verse 17, everybody out loud. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying was told them concerning this child. Turn around and tell your neighbor, a baby changes everything. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the anointing to preach your word in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Give the Lord another hand of praise here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray, for that song tonight. Praise God for his healing in your body and in your life. Amen. And we're looking forward to next Sunday night. We have our Singspiration. We didn't have a cantata this year, but we're going to have a lot of singing next Sunday night. And I'm trying to still pull it together, but I'm hoping to have Mary and Joseph and the baby as our special guest at the end. Okay, we're working on that. How many of you would like to see Mary and Joseph and the baby next Sunday night? All right, all right. So you pray, and you might see a star shining over here next Sunday night. But thank the Lord for that. And one word about our new outreach assimilation ministry. We're sending cards to everyone that misses a Sunday. I had one lady, Sister Quick, told me this morning she had to miss last Sunday, and she got a card from our group. And several of you are doing that. And Sister Darnell is trying to pull it all together. There's a lot of stuff involved. And by the way, Sister Darnell has started subbing teaching. She subbed 2 days last week. She's going to sub 3 days this week. And we're praying that through that, the Lord is going to put her right where she wants her. And I'm telling you, God is good. Amen. She hasn't worked since September the 15th, and it's like I would have never believed. There's no way we're going to be able to, you know, go through and put all the bills together and everything. And we don't have a lot of bills, but, you know, just things come up. Amen. Praise God. And expenses and utility, all of that. And I have been so amazed. But what the Lord has done when we got to the month of November, I would have never believed it, and we were more than able to take care of it. And even small things, a lady came up to me in Cracker Barrel, and we go probably, you probably think we go 7 nights out of 10, but we go maybe once or twice a week at the most if our schedule works it out. But we do go pretty much every week, at least once a week. And the lady said, I don't have any family here in Wilson. You guys come here all the time. And I'm from now on, if I'm here, you're going to get my family discount. So the last 3 times I've eaten, I've paid about half the price. That's favor. Amen. Oh, a baby changes everything. I'm just getting started here tonight. Amen. Okay. Praise God, brother. Don't get me started on another bad habit. No, I'm just kidding here. Amen. That's a good habit. Amen. But God is good all the time. So we're pulling that assimilation ministry together, a lot of paperwork. So if you see Darnell scurrying around and taking care of some paperwork, it's getting it all started, and then it'll flow like clockwork. Can you say amen? And we appreciate all of you that are helping us do that. And if you want to help us, we're not leaving anybody out. This is open to everyone. It's got like Nehemiah said, a willing heart whose heart God has touched and who has a willing desire to serve. You have a place somewhere here at Westmoreland. Can you say amen? All right, you ready for the message tonight? Was anybody around in the year 1809? I don't think so. 1809. And we think, what in the world are you talking about, a forgotten year? We don't even hardly remember 2009. Let me point out to you some things that happened in 1809 that changed everything. William Gladstone was born in the year 1809. He became the Prime Minister of England during a crucial time that helped with the Jews. He was a major player in the Zionist movement. Alfred Lord Tennyson was born in a preacher's home in 1809. Oliver Wendell Holmes, a great minister, was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. But here's an amazing birth that year. And it wasn't in a preacher's home, and it wasn't in a great stately family off the English countryside. It was in the backwoods of Kentucky, where a mother gave birth to a child that would one day become the 16th president of the United States, and his name is Abraham Lincoln. You see, I want you to know, friends, that a baby changes everything. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Very important for children's ministries, nursery, children's church, rangers, girls' ministries. Don't ever, ever forget you are influencing world changers that are to come for the good or not for the good. When Steve Jobs was just a teenager, he went to his pastor with questions. Why did so-and-so die at an early age? The pastor could not answer in a way. And I'll be honest with you, we don't have the answers to that. But as pastors, we ought to have enough of God to be able to show people the Spirit of God and the purpose of God. And what would have happened if that pastor could have connected with Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs died at the age, I believe, 58 of cancer, not believing in the Lord. But look at what his life did without the Lord. Can you imagine what it would have done with the Lord? If Steve Jobs had gotten saved, he would have created an app on the phone that when you walk in the church, it shuts off. And if you tried to use it during the sermon, he would have encoded it some way for it to completely crash for 2 days. But my friend, I want you to know that not in 1809, but about 2017 years ago, no one would have thought that when Jesus or this baby was laying in a manger, please not forget that a manger is a piece of a wooden stall where animals feed from. And that is not the comfort of a crib in a nice home. But in a manger, the world changed that night. And I don't think it's an accident that he was laid at a manger. Because when we, God's creatures, are hungry, we can feast and come and dine at that precious manger. Not only then, but now. Can you say amen? Give him a hand of praise. Amen. I'm reminded that King George III, who kept a diary, on July the 4th, 1776, he wrote in his diary, you can find it out, "Nothing significant happened today." He wrote that in his diary on July. He didn't realize that on July the 4th, 1776, that we had declared independence. And everything changed that day. Friend, that night everything changed. The world changed. Everything. Hell changed. Heaven changed. We changed that night. A baby changes everything. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to give you three things definitely that changed that night. First of all, history changed that night. One of my favorite preachers, you probably wouldn't think it because he was very prim and proper and had a very deep voice, but his name was D. James Kennedy. D. James Kennedy had the flowing robe on. He was at the Presbyterian Church in Coral Gables, Florida. He had a TV show, and he and Jerry Falwell did a lot to lay the groundwork for the evangelical political revolution that we're benefiting from today. But he watched the movie one time, It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody ever seen that movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Okay. And you know the plot of that movie is that things happen bad to a good man, and he thinks about committing suicide, but an angel shows him what his town would have looked like had he not been born. And James Kennedy thought, what would have happened if Jesus had not been born? You see, he wrote a book called What If Jesus Had Not Been Born? And he talks about the things that we take for granted today. I mentioned some of them last week. I'm going to expound on them this week. But did you know that education and literacy changed because of a manger 2,000 years ago? Did you know it was Christianity that started the first public school system? John Calvin and Geneva and the reformers, they started they thought, see, most people, they didn't educate their children. Even as recently as 50 years ago, some of your grandparents, you may have heard them make statements like this: I only got a third grade education, or I didn't go to school. Why? Because it wasn't really a law or practice. If it was a great privilege to have an education. And you kids that have fallen asleep tomorrow in class, please realize you're really doing better than you think you are. And all of everybody that's an adult says amen. But did you know it was Christianity that said, wait a minute, we've got to have a way to teach our children. Why do we teach our children? Is it to learn math? Yes. Is it to learn science? Absolutely. But the main reason is to teach them about God, the Creator. And a baby changes everything, and we learn, and we have. Did you know the Ivy League schools, Harvard, and some other ones, they skip my mind right now, Yale, Cambridge in England. Did you know that all of the Ivy League schools, most of them were started for Christianity and to train preachers? All they have backslidden and backslidden. You know, Duke University was started by a very godly man to train Methodists. It was called Trinity College before it was called Duke University. Can I get a witness out there? Listen, education, all of that we take for granted today, and we just think education is a great thing. But listen, it would have never happened had a baby not laid his head in a manger. It'd have been everybody to himself. Thank God he changed education so that we could understand the Bible. A baby changes everything. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. The Bible had to be available to people. But for them to enjoy it, they had to read it. And for them to read it, it had to be printed. Hence the press, the Gutenberg press, revolutionary. And you know why that invention came into being? It, right about the time of the Reformation, was to spread the word of God. Somebody say a baby changes everything. I mentioned last week about hospitals. I won't go back into that. But you know, before Jesus was born, and even after Jesus was born, for many, all of the lands where Christianity was not known, people didn't care for the sick the way they care for. I mentioned this last week, so I'm not going to go back into it. But friend, because of Jesus Christ, we have hospitals today. We study to wait and to care. Nurses are there, and they may not be Christians. And it's amazing. They try to, now you listen, it just stirs me up when I go to the hospitals, and used to, and most every hospital in the last 20 years ago, you could go to Pitt Hospital, which is now Vidant. You could go to Wilson, and there was a chapel there where people could pray. And there was a cross in there, and there was a Bible in there. And as a minister, I could go freely, come in and coming out. Things have changed today. They've taken the chapel, they took the cross out, and it's an interfaith chapel. So I'm like, give me a break. Do you understand it was not the Muslims that gave us the modern hospital? It was not Buddha that gave us the modern hospital. It was Christians who had a heart for God and said, we will get ourselves sick before we just throw them out on the street. We're going to care for the dying and love on the perishing. And we're going to, at their last breath, be there and say, give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. There's still hope for heaven. Thank God a baby changes everything. Thank God for hospitals. The ambulance still has the what? It still has a cross with a snake on it. That's from the Bible. Amen. Praise God, somebody. What about the Red Cross? We take it for granted. And any catastrophe in the world, and already the Red Cross is already on the way, and then the Baptists are on the way, and any of these hurricanes, even the Pentecostals, we've got men in our own connections who go. But I used to think when I watched the news and they would show there's been a catastrophe in Haiti, there's been an earthquake, and planes are flying in, and you see Red Cross, you see Baptists, you see this, that, and the other, but you never see an Islamic half moon flying in, do you? Are you with me? And I'm not trying to stir anybody up. I'm just telling you the truth. A baby changes everything. Thank God that all in history. What about science? What about science? I talked to you about science. Did you know that it is because of Christianity, because of Jesus, that we discovered penicillin, that we discovered the ability or the revolutionary concept of quarantine when some people are sick, and bacteria, anesthesia. Do you know anesthesia? My goodness. Man, Pastor Jerry, when you had that open heart surgery, man, you weren't awake during that, were you? They put you to sleep, brother. You fell asleep and you woke up and it was done. Amen. You know, you had to work through the healing. But let me tell you where somebody, this is the man that came up with anesthesia, was reading the Bible, and it says that when God took the rib out of Adam, he put him to sleep. I know I'm putting some of y'all to sleep tonight too. What a revolutionary concept. A baby changes. Do you know they didn't have anesthesia, man? If you had to have a tooth pulled, you know what they did? You know what anesthesia was? Get a couple of guys and hold him down. And they yanked that tooth out. I didn't go do my education as well as you thought I should have. But listen, a baby changes everything. The need for blood. Without Christianity, people would thought that blood was infected, so they would drain your blood. But somebody was reading in the Bible that life is in the blood. I'm telling you for history. I don't even have time to tell you how Western civilization, this is much larger than this little message here tonight, but please understand that when that baby laid in the manger, it changed the course of history for the good. And if you believe it tonight, will you shout hallelujah tonight? Thank God, a baby changes everything. Not only did the baby change history, but that one child, that baby changed theology. Theology. A baby changed theology. Because in the Old Testament, you had to bring your sacrifice. But you remember the Passover lamb, the first night in Exodus. And they would take a lamb for a house. Somebody say, a lamb for a house. That means for your house, you had a lamb. And you would offer that lamb and you would put the blood on the doorpost. And through 2,000 years, the way to God was through sacrifice, through lambs, through rams. But on the first Christmas night, a baby changed all that. Hebrews 20:10 and verse 20 says that we have a new and a living way. Praise God. That baby changed theology. Now, he did in the practice of theology, but actually, there was no theology changed. All of that was a sign. But did you know that all religions, basically, there's really only, people say, well, oh, there's so many religions in the world, and how do you know? Let me tell you something. There's really only two religions, the right and the wrong. Now you say, well, why you are so proud to, they tell us that on the news, on the History Channel. They ought to call it the Mystery Channel, because that's all they do is they just conjure up old fables and they put it up there and make young people think it's law and gospel, and it's the worst thing that's ever happened. They need to stick to the ice road pickers, you know, in Alaska. That's what they need to stick with, and stay away from Dan Brown and the Da Vinci Code and all of this mess. It's not even factual. I mean, you know, you can just go to your library and they, it's all it's fake news, fake history. Can I get a witness out there? But listen, you know, there's only two religions. There's the religion of you earn your way to God. And then there's the religion of you can't earn your way to God. God came and died and paid the price for your sin. All religions are classified in those one or two categories. Now, it could be Islam, it could be Buddhism, it could be some forms of Roman Catholicism, it could be some forms of Christianity. It could even seep into our Pentecostal churches. called legalism, where I am going to go to heaven because I have done this, I've done that, I have brought a sacrifice, I've prayed, and so God, what you're doing is you're earning your way to heaven. That's a form of false religion. That is Cain offering the works from the ground, and there's the other religion of Abel where he offered the lamb, because you do not do good to get God. You get God to get good. Let me say it again. All religion that's false is you do good, you do better. That's why the Islamic terrorists flew those planes into the World Trade Center. They got into the cockpit. They slit the throats of the pilots, they took flying lessons for years. They perfected it for one purpose only, to sit in a plane, hijack it, and kill themselves and bring down the towers. They did that because they felt like, if I do this for my God, then man, I'm going to have paradise waiting for me. I'm sorry to say, but they got a rude awakening. And then there's some of you sitting out here, some of you listening by live stream. Well, I give $100 every year to the Shriners Fish Fry, and you know that's going. No, that's false religion. That's getting works. But that night, a baby changed everything. You don't bring your works. In fact, it was God that stepped down to become a baby. That baby grew up to become the Lord Jesus Christ. He was already the Lord, but he grew up and manifested his love, and he died on a cross so that we don't do good to get God. We get God to get good. We don't send our sons to die for our God. Our God sent his son to die for us. A baby changes theology. Now, you say, well, I was born wrong. That's because we were all born wrong. But the baby says this: you can be born again by the precious blood of Jesus. You don't have to bring some kind of sacrifice or offering. You just come as you are, but he will not leave you like you are. He will change you. You don't change you. A baby changes everything. Give him a hand of praise if you've been to Jesus. He became a son of man that we might become the sons of God. I took a class on Islam, and I found out that they teach that you have to do so many good works, listen to this, for a chance to get to heaven. They say that if you are a woman, your chances are almost void that you could ever do enough good, because they see in women the epitome of evil. That's why they cover them. That's why they put them down, hide them under that scarf. Let me tell you, God wants to set women free. Amen. Let me tell you, He wants to set us all free. And they said, you walk over hell on a tightrope, and all of your bad works will weigh you down, and all of your good works will boost you up. And you better hope, when you walk across that tightrope, you better hope you did enough. You're supposed to pray 5 times a day. Supposed to get on your face in the mosque or pray towards Mecca. You're supposed to do all of these works. And if you kill yourself in holy war, you have a better chance. No wonder their music is so depressing. Sounds horrible. I don't mean to, it's a little funny the way I say that, but you go to those cities and you have a wail. They're wailing, oh, and hearing the Muslim wail, this yearning to know God, and oh, that we would, and then the devil comes in and brings such a hostility to the truth, and so they kill the very ones who can help them, and oh, but listen, when you've met the baby, it's not, it's some glad morning when this life is, it was mercy rewrote my life. Oh, thank God a baby changed theology. I'm saved. Sing about it. Shout about it. Up the aisles. I don't have a chance. I'll never have a chance. But I got a God who saved me and delivered me. And now I'm born again. Why don't you stand on your feet tonight and praise him for a baby that changes everything. I'm saved because of that baby. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I've been saved. I'm going to sing about it. I'm happy. I was so burdened with sin. you know, before I got saved, I was only 12. But I knew I was a sinner. I had already done things. I knew I was in big trouble. Big trouble. Things had gone through my mind. I had a TV in my bedroom. My mother and father let me have a TV. My mother and father were good parents. They provided. But they let me have a TV in the bedroom. And back in those days, you could put an antenna wire on it, put a piece of tinfoil around it, and you could get Showtime and HBO for free. God is my witness. But let me tell you what I saw on Showtime and what I saw on HBO were things an 11-year-old boy should have never seen. And I knew I was in sin. And I knew I didn't do right. And my grandmother took me to church. And I began to get under conviction. And I didn't want to get saved. I wanted to hang around with the in crowd. I wanted to be with my friends and do what my friends did and talk about things that they talked about and laugh about jokes that weren't good and be with those. And I remember struggling with that. And then I picked up a track about a man who had died and gone to hell. And I knew I'd go to hell. I knew, but I'd been enough to, I knew I was a sinner. And I was fighting it, and I'd get saved one day, and I'd backslide the next day, and I just, the preacher would give an altar call, and I'd sit right there on the row, and I wouldn't dare move, and yet I knew I needed to be saved, and I struggled, but thank the Lord He kept dealing with me. And I remember I was at my grandmother's house, my grandmother Nelms' house, and my uncles were talking about some stuff that scared me so bad, and I just said, wait a minute. And I found my way to a private place. And I shut the door. And I, in my heart of hearts, I said, oh, God, I have sinned. This is a 12-year-old boy. I said, oh, God, I have sinned. I know I'm worthy of hell. I don't want to go into a place called hell. I'm in danger. Father, forgive me. I'm so sorry I committed any sins. Lord, if you'll just show me grace, I'll do everything that I can. I can't do it. I need you. Oh, Father, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. I ask you into my heart. I repent. I turn to you. And something happened in that prayer. And I remember a burden lifted off my shoulder. And all of a sudden, I walked out of that room. It was like the world had lifted off my shoulders. And I was still a little shy about it, but I told my grandmother, I got saved. And then we'd go to church, and all of a sudden, the singers would sing, and I'd find my hand kind of like that, you know. And I was getting into it. But the point I'm trying to tell you is, I never shall forget the day the burden of my heart rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I sang and shouted, for He's everything to me. A baby changed Ricky Nims. And praise God, He can change you tonight. Somebody say amen. Now, I've been a sorry Christian, but I've never been sorry I was a Christian. A baby changes everything historically, theologically, and then I'm tying this in with number three and bringing it to a close tonight. But a baby changes destiny. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 34. A baby changes destiny. Destiny changed that night. The world was never the same. Forever changed. It changed the destiny of nations. It changed the destiny of people groups. And changed your destiny that night. And you know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 34. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And shall be for signs shall be spoken against it. I'm here to tell you that this child is for the falling or for the rising. You see, if you go to hell, you know what somebody said about you going to hell. And people say, well, I don't believe in hell. If you don't believe in hell, then don't believe in heaven. The same Bible that tells us of streets of gold and gates of pearl tells us of a place called hell. Well, Brother Ricky, the kids are in here tonight. Let me tell you, kids, there's a place called hell that you need to be warned about. You say, well, I don't want to go. Well, let me tell you something. If you do go, you'll go over a baby in a manger. In fact, somebody said it like this. God loved you so much. He said, if you want to go to hell, you do so over my dead body. Of course, we know he's not dead. He's alive. Amen. He is set for the rising and fall. There's going to be some people that will reject that baby. There's going to be some people that they want to go down the other road. But let me tell you, not only for the falling, but there's that baby is for the rising of many. That baby will change your life. It will affect your destiny. When I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, it affected where I went to college. It affected who I married. It affected my employment. It affects my decisions. That baby has changed my destiny. And one day, oh glory to God, when I get to the graveside, it's going to affect where I spend forever and forever. That baby is for my rising. Hallelujah. I'm going to spend forever with the Lord. You know, I thought about the baby was in a manger. We put a baby up in a crib. And so picture the baby in the crib. So somebody has a newborn baby. So you walk up and the crib is right there. It's like, oh, look at the little bitty baby. So cute. You know all that. But the baby was in a manger, not a crib. And so picture this. The baby's there and you have to do what? You can't just do that. What you got to do? See what I'm doing? God put a baby in the manger. Because we all need to kneel before the Son of the living God. And I tell you, when you kneel before the baby in the manger, I'll tell you, you'll rise in life. God, I hope I can get back up. Help me, somebody. Too many Cracker Barrel biscuits, right? Oh, that's what I want you to do this Christmas. I want you to kneel at the manger. I want you to put your knees onto the ground. Maybe not literally like I did, but in your heart, kneel before him and honor him and say, this precious baby, you have my destiny. I yield to you. You're my Lord. You're my King. A baby changes everything. Can you give him another hand of praise tonight? Amen. I'm going to close. I'm going to ask Brother Clark to sing for us tonight, or just get ready to sing. Has that baby changed your life? You'll never be the same because of a baby in a manger. When news came, I want you to stand, and I'm going to tell you this little story, and I'm going to close. And just get right ready, and I'll let you know when to start, brother. I came across this. I tried to verify it. But listen real close. Everybody listen real close. You give me 3 more minutes. When news came of the surrender of General Lee at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, President Abraham Lincoln went to Richmond, the defeated Confederate capital. He dropped by the house of Jefferson Davis. We know Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederacy. He was there by himself, and he went to the door of the house. He knocked on the door, and a woman came out with a little child, a baby in her arms. It was Jefferson Davis's wife and newborn baby. She told him that her husband's not at home. And the baby was trying to take hold of the stranger. You know, reaching up to the stranger. And Abraham Lincoln took Jefferson Davis's baby. And for some reason, the child, when it kind of snuggled over, the child put a little kiss on President Lincoln's face. Lincoln gave the child back to the mother, and he said this. He said, tell your husband that for the sake of that kiss, I forgive everything. Aren't you glad of that tonight? A baby changed everything. Let's sing it together. Go ahead, brother. God wants to make a way in the manger. Are you struggling tonight? Are you going through some hardships tonight? If that's it, let me do this. Let me get you, ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. There may be a young person here tonight, 11, 12, 13. There may be an older person as well. But you've never asked the baby Jesus, you've never asked King Jesus into your heart. Maybe you're like I was. You kind of want to be in with the in crowd. But God wants to change your life. He will do some amazing things, but you've got to repent. You've got to ask the Lord to forgive you. And you have to accept Him. And I promise you, if you'll say, "Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry. I have sinned." If you'll do that, that baby will change everything. Bow your heads, everybody, if you've not already bowed them. Ask the Lord into your heart. Let this Christmas be your first Christmas knowing Jesus. If you find yourself and you say, "Well, I've got plenty of time," but you may not have the privilege of living into your 70s or 80s or 90s. We know some that have passed away in their teen years. But if you know that baby, He will change everything. Ask Him into your heart. Pray this prayer, everybody out loud. But if you want to know Jesus as your Savior, for those of you on Facebook Live and those of you live stream, pray this prayer. If you want the baby to change your life, say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to You a sinner. I have sinned, and I need Your forgiveness. You said You would give it as I surrender my life to You. Forgive me of all. I ask You into my heart. I make You the Lord of my life. And through the power of Your Spirit, not through my feelings, but through faith, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that this baby died and rose again. And by grace, through faith, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved." Somebody give Him a hand of praise. I'm saved. I'm saved. And if you need the Lord to do something in your life, a healing, a financial miracle, He wants to make a way in the manger. Let's sing it, Brother Sister Wilson. Away in the manger. Would you step out of your seat and let's kneel, maybe not literally, but figuratively in your heart. Let's kneel before the manger. Come on, join me tonight. Let's come to the manger tonight. If you want to get on your knees in the manger, that will be fine.
A little Lord Jesus, lay down His sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where He lay. A little Lord Jesus, asleep on
away. He's making a way, Pastor. He's making a way for Westmoreland. He's making a way for us. He's making a way for your finances. Away in the manger. Oh, He's making a way for your healing tonight. He's making a way for these young people tonight. Oh, God, let this baby change this young lady's life. Oh, God, may she not... Lord, may she not forget what You did for her. There's times she feels forgotten, times she feels hurt. But God, You sent a baby for her. And You know every pain. You know the time she calls out to You. And You're changing her destiny. You're changing her destiny. Oh God, this young lady has so much life. She has so much vitality, so many dreams. Oh God, help her to find a way in the manger. A way in the manger. A way in the manger for these young people tonight. Son, you're not an accident. God's got a way in the manger for you tonight. Kneel before the manger tonight. Ask Jesus into your heart. Oh God, let me pray for you. Oh God, this young man, Lord, his destiny lies before him. Oh God, help him to find a way in the manger, God. Help him to go all out for the God who went all out for him. Oh God, help him not to worry about friends or family, God, but to 100% say, Lord, I'm yours. I kneel at the manger. I'm yours, oh God, for now and for all eternity. Oh God, make a way, Lord. Heal tonight. Deliver tonight. Lord, you're going to set the captive free. Oh, we bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. Sing Away in the Manger, verse 1.
Away in the manger, no crib for a pen. The little Lord Jesus,
oh, laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky.
Brother Ray, come up. Come on up. Come on up. I want you to sing this. Brother Ray. Give me some harmony on this. Amen. Give him a microphone. Sing it again. Verse 1.
Away in the manger, no crib for a bed.
Just give me some harmony.
Y'all keep singing.
Verse 2.
Asleep on the hay.
The cattle.
The cattle are lowing. The baby awakes. The little Lord Jesus. The crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky.
Yes. Darnell, come. Come. I want to do it without the music. Sister Darnell, come on. I want you to harmonize too. All right? Oh, you still got the throat there? God, believe before a miracle. Amen.
Amen.
All right.